Anybody know he'll work it out? No, I'm looking at some people. I know he worked it out for you. Yeah, no, he's a work it out God. He takes care of it, even when you can't take care of it yourself. But we thank God for being an awesome, awesome God. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, how excellent is your name. Your name that you have set above the heavens. God, we come now at this time to hear a word from you. Lord, we lift up this message to you, Lord, and we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to move on the hearts and the minds of your people. Remind us afresh of your grace, your mercy, your goodness, your favor, and all things you've done for us, Lord. So help us now to receive your word. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, I thank you for being my redeemer, and I thank you for being my strength. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 16 through 18. And let me read it for your hearing. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. If you have your handout, you'll track us on the handout, and if you need one, just raise your hand, and the ushers will make sure they put one in your hand. As a little boy, 10, 11 years old, and having a twin brother, we would hang out in the neighborhood, getting in all kinds of trouble. But every now and then, that would be an encouraging neighbor that mama had talked to. And whatever she told them, they thought that these two little boys were such the sweetest little boys. And so they would bless us 50 cents, a dollar, and we would be like, ooh, where'd that come from? And every time we would get the blessing, we would run home and tell mama. And when we would tell mama, she would remind us of one thing. Did you say thank you? And that's where we learned that you ought to say thank you. Today we live in a world that it seems like thank you ain't on the list. We living in a world where you hold the door for somebody and they just walk right on in and don't say anything. I don't know about you, but these people on these roads, when they driving, they want to ease in, and you let them in, and they just keep on going. They don't recognize anything. We do something kind for people, and they think that they're entitled to our kindness. Thanking you has gone out the window. We live in a world where people scroll more than they speak. They complain more than they celebrate. Then when they realize the blessings, they seldom acknowledge it. We live in a culture when complaining is common, entitlement is expected, and in a world learned how to take but forgotten, somehow forgotten, how to say thank you. In a world where Thanksgiving is seasonal, we are called to live with a continual gratitude, not for everything that happens. The Bible calls us, but for everything that is happening. It's right in the middle of a thankless world that the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the believers at Thessalonica. And he gives three powerful commands in this text. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. If you take those commands, that's not just Thanksgiving, that's really Thanksgiving. Today, we want to spend just a few moments as we talk from this thought, how to live thankful in a thankless world. I want you to see this morning how to maintain your joy, guard your peace, and keep your praise in a culture that constantly tries to steal it. So I have a question for you today. How do you display gratitude when life isn't great? Let's go into the text and see what God has to say this morning to help us along the way. And the first thing that I need you to see here in this text is you need to realize gratitude is to be a daily celebration. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says two words, rejoice always. Thanksgiving is a seasonal occasion, and the Apostle Paul says being thankful is to be a daily demonstration of God's blessing toward you. Thankfulness is not based on what's happening around us. It's rooted in working on the inside of us. In our text today, the Apostle Paul, he's not writing from a place of the palace like he's got it going on. No, he's writing from a prison. His situation ain't the best. He wish he could be other places, but God has put him in this prison. And so he's writing to help people deal with persecution, to deal with pressure, to deal with pain. But despite this, he says, if you know the Lord, you got a reason to rejoice. The text says, it teaches us that praise and rejoicing should be more than a reaction. It really must be your lifestyle. It must be how you live. You know you've encountered some people that you see them, and every time you see them, everywhere they say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know you looked at them cross-eyed like, ain't nobody praising like that. But here in this text, that's essentially what Paul is saying, that we ought to be praising God all of the time. In season and out of season. Things going well, things going bad. When you're up and when you're down, we ought to be praising him. And so when we read this text, we are reminded that praising is not seasonal, it's a spiritual mindset. Now, as a believer, you got a secret weapon in this negative world. And Paul gives us that word, rejoice. It's meaning to be full of joy, to be delight, to be cheerful. It carries the present imperative tense, which means it's a continual, ongoing action. It means that it's just not a one-time act. You keep doing it. It's a lifestyle for you. You keep thinking. You keep having joy for what God has done. So Paul here doesn't say that you rejoice sometimes. He says rejoice always. It doesn't mean that you and I have to deny pain. It means that we don't let pain define us. A joy for the believer isn't based on the external circumstances of life, but on the internal confidence of God's sovereignty in our lives. Paul here is saying, be happy all the time. Preacher, I don't know about that. I wake up in the morning and get a phone call that don't make me happy. I got to go in and work with folk that always have a frown on their face. That don't make me happy. I don't know about that, preacher, but Paul is letting all of us know that no matter what it is, we must have joy. Joy is the subtle assurance that God is in control. It's a quiet confidence that everything will be all right. It's a determined choice to praise him anyhow. It's an intentional choice to praise him anyhow. It means that whatever is going on, you praise him anyhow. And I read that, and I thought about years ago here at the Good Hope Church, we used to have an announcement clerk. Y'all, see, if you've been in the old church, you know what that is. They have their period, and they give all of the announcements, 40,000 announcements about everything. And we had a sister, she did it for years. Her name was Sister Dupree. Sister Dupree was married to Deacon Dupree. And Deacon Dupree was the Sunday school superintendent. And Deacon Dupree and Sister Dupree was something else. They would take my family and I and pick us up for church and take us home after church. And they were kind of strict. So when my brother and I got in the car, we had to sit still and not move around. They were something else. Sister Dupree was a sweet lady. Sometime in there, the Lord allowed cancer to strike her body. She was a lady that appreciated her appearance. But you could see that cancer was taking its toll. But she always did the announcements. And when she got sick, her announcement introduction changed. Every time she got up, she would say these words, "Praise the Lord." And it got to the point where if she did say it, we'd be upset. Because we knew what she was going through. And she wanted to let us know, even though it's got me, I'm going to praise the Lord. And I thought about Sister Dupree, how she stood every Sunday, body getting weak, wasn't no cure. She would say, "Praise the Lord." Paul gives us an example of that and says, when you rejoice, even when it ain't going right, you need to praise the Lord. God wants us to understand that in the down, we need to praise him. And joy doesn't come from what's around us. Our joy comes from what's in us. A grateful person doesn't wait for life to be good for celebrating. They celebrate because God is always good. A missionary once said, "I've learned to thank God not because life is easy, but because God is faithful." He had lost his home, his health, and most of his possession, yet his face radiated with joy. And when asked how, he said, "When you lose everything, but still have Jesus, you realize you still have everything that matters." You can't control your circumstances, but you can control your celebration. Hey, Lord, it ain't right now. Some stuff is thrown off right now, but I'm going to praise you anyhow. I'm going to give you all of the glory and all of the honor because you deserve it. Help me, Lord. Joy isn't automatic. It's intentional. You have to make yourself praise God. You have to wake up each day and decide, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. When your feelings say no, your faith ought to say yes. Every day is a gift. And gratitude is how you unwrap it. The little boy was asked what he was thankful for Thanksgiving. And his response was, "I'm thankful that God is the same God the day after Thanksgiving." Amen. Now, if a child understood that gratitude is important about the date, it's about the daily delight that we experience in God because of his faithfulness. So don't reserve your rejoicing for just a few days during the year. You got to rejoice every day. Sometimes the country folks say, every day you got to rejoice. No matter what it is, you got to rejoice. You got to let the Lord know every day that you're thankful. You got to let the Lord know that if it had not been from the Lord on my side, where would I be? You got to let him know. You know, in the mornings we pick up that phone and be whatever we do with it. But when you pick it up this time, put it down and say, "Lord, thank you that I got a phone. Thank you that you let me pick it up. Thank you that you let me read what's on it. Thank you that when I read it, I understand it. Thank you that you helped me to pay the bill for this little old bitty thing. Thank you." Rejoice every day what God is doing. So Paul gives this vision of rejoicing every day. And it's in Philippians 4 and 4. It says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord." Paul says, I say it again, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, always be full of joy in the Lord. Let me say it again, always be full of joy in the Lord. Rejoice. I thought about that. My grandson, 2 years old, whoo, Lord, active. And I read him a book about the bird and the bear. He didn't stand still while I was reading it. And I thought he wasn't listening. I put the book down. He goes back and get the book. Hand it to me. Read it again. I read the book, put it down. He picks it back up, read it again. Plays with the little balls. And we play a little ball. And we're going on play with something else. No, I'm giving you the ball. We're going to do it again. And I got thinking about that now. Now, look here, boy, I'm kind of tired of this. I don't want to read nothing about no bird and bear no more. And I ain't picking up no more balls. You got to change what's going on here, brother. But all he wanted to do was to do it again. And I thought about that. There's somebody, now I got tired of doing it again. But there's somebody that don't get tired of doing it again. I'm so glad that God wakes me up every morning. He does it again. I'm so glad that he blesses me over and over and over. He does it again. He don't get tired of blessing me. And so because God does it again, hey, you and I ought to rejoice him over and over and over again. We ought to be grateful that we have a chance to lift up his holy name. Next thing I need you to see here in this text is that you need to realize gratitude grows through consistent communion with God. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray continually. It has that nonstop verbal prayer. It means maintaining an unbroken attitude of prayer, a continued awareness of God's presence. Paul doesn't say pray sometimes. He says pray always. He's not telling us that we need to stay on our knees all day, because prayer isn't about a specific position. Get that. Get that. If you're not on your knees and praying, it ain't mean your prayer ain't getting to God. If you're not in the church house and you still praying, it don't mean your prayer ain't getting to God. You don't have to be at the altar for God to hear your prayer. You don't have to let everybody know you're praying, because Jesus warned us against praying for the show. Matter of fact, he says, go into your closet. And when you pray in your closet, in secret, I'm going to bless you out in the open. So when we pray, it don't matter where you are, just pray. And your prayers don't have to be 40 minutes. Lord, help me. That's a prayer. Lord, you know I almost went left yesterday. I need you to hold my tongue. Lord, help me. Because these kinfolk are throwed off. Lord, help me to love my people. Lord, help me to be what you need me to be to help my people. That's prayer. That's talking to the one that can make the change. That's letting them know I'm leaning on you to help me do what I can't do by myself. Paul says we need to pray always. And y'all, don't, we can't act like every day is going smooth. Let somebody cut in front of you. I ain't seen you, but I know what terminology you use. God challenges us even in those situations. But prayer calls for us to always pray. In season and out of season, pray. We've had many prayer warriors here at Good Hope. And I believe that the reason God has blessed us for over 150-something years is because somebody has been praying. Somebody prayed us through fourth ward. Somebody prayed us through the moving from fourth ward to third ward. Somebody prayed us through changing from leadership to leadership. Somebody prayed. Prayer. Continually. He paints this picture that you should have the heartbeat of gratitude when you pray. So prayer is the oxygen for a believer's soul. It's without it, your spiritual life would suffocate. So when prayer becomes your lifestyle, there's something that happens. Gratitude becomes what you believe. Now, you can't stay bitter when you stay before the Lord. When you constantly praying, Lord won't let you hold on to that bitterness. I don't know if you ever had this situation where somebody you mad at and you start praying about them and the Holy Spirit move on you, bring you to tears, bring you to guilt, and then you start thanking the Lord that he didn't take you out instead of you praying about taking somebody else out. The Lord uses that moment and the Holy Spirit to convict you, but only because you're spending time in prayer. Prayer changes you. So when God says here in this text, pray without ceasing, we need to have that mindset to keep on praying. Don't let it stop you. We need to have that mindset that God is listening to our prayers. I love the prophet Daniel, because the prophet Daniel is a good example of how we ought to pray. He got in trouble because he prayed. He got in trouble because he was honoring God. And even when he got in trouble, he kept on praying. They set him up, the people that didn't like him. And so when he was getting ready to be thrown into the lion's den, he prayed before they went into the den so that he could pray in the den. So praying in the den wasn't new to him. It was always what he did. So we've got to keep on praying. And when he prayed in the den, he was really giving himself an opportunity to just talk to God. His consistency in communing with God produced his courage in crisis. He was courage. He had courage that whatever God was going to do, it was going to be all right. Daniel was a good example of praying morning, noon, and night, because the Bible says that's what he did. He prayed in the morning, he prayed in the noonday, and he prayed at night. Prayed all, every day he prayed. And Daniel is an example for you and I to take to heart that whatever we're dealing with, prayer, it may not fix it, but it will fix you. It may not change it, but it will change you. It may not be the way you want it to be, but it'll change you. I got news for you. I know what prayer can do. I know how prayer can fix it for me in my mind, fix it for me in my spirit, fix it for me to stop worrying about stuff I can't do nothing about. Prayer will fix it for you. Keep on praying. Daniel is the best example for you and I in the Bible that tells us the value of keeping on praying. Now, if you want to grow in gratitude with God, you must deepen your prayer life. You must extend yourself. And a part of our discipleship, we spend that one time with the prayer experience. And some people is like, 60 minutes. Ooh, Lord Jesus. How am I going to do that 60 minutes? Well, we helped you out. We gave you a little model, P-R-A-Y, praise, repent, knowledge and yield. We helped you out. And then there's another one, Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So we help you out. But I think what many of you find out, you ain't need no help. Because once you blocked out the time and start talking to him, you ain't need no help to get to 60 minutes. Matter of fact, you said, can I have some more time? So when you spend time with him, God will give you what's on your heart. And he'll let you know that he's listening to you. He'll let you know that he hears your feeble cry. He'll let you know that he is here and he's a very present help in the time of trouble. Stay prayerful, not just in crisis, but in consistency. When you feel anxious, pray instead of panicking. When you feel frustrated, pray instead of fuming. Prayer doesn't always change your predicament, but it can change your perspective. In Luke 18:1, Jesus writes this word. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Prayer changes your perspective, and your perspective really makes the difference. Story of two boys with a father. One was considered the pessimist, and the other one was considered the optimist. And so the dad decided that one time he would flip the script on him and give the one that's a pessimist some gifts that maybe would change him. The latest gifts they got going on, just flood him with all of the nice stuff going on. And then for the optimist, he said that, well, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give him a bag of manure and put him in the barn. So the dad did that, let the optimist experience the toys for a little while, and then when he checked on it, the pessimist, rather, checked on him, and the boy said, I'm tired of these toys. I want something else. So he went and checked on the optimist. And when he went to check on him, he had been digging through that manure. And the dad said, boy, what's wrong with you? The optimist says, well, I got some manure here. If I keep digging, there must be a pony somewhere. Perspective. God changes your perspective in prayer. When you go to prayer, he'll make you look at it differently. When you go to prayer, when you get up and you walk away from it, you'll see things differently. And what you will see is that God is in control. But what you'll see that just as God takes care of the birds and the air, the lilies of the field, he's going to take care of you. Prayer will change your perspective. And lastly, I want you to see here in the text, you need to realize gratitude is the will of God in every circumstance. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks, an attitude or gratitude to show appreciation. It's taken from the English word Eucharist, which we often sometimes use referring to the Lord's Supper. It's an ultimate act of thanksgiving for Christ's sacrifice. Paul here in this text doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. He says in all circumstances. Don't miss that distinction. God never asks us to be thankful for evil, for pain, or loss. So don't let nobody tell you somebody done mistreated you. Well, you thank God they mistreated. No. That ain't what God is saying. Somebody cuss you out, hold your peace, but you ain't got to be happy about getting cussed out. Somebody misuse you, hold your peace, but you ain't got to be glad. Oh, I'm glad they misused me. That's not what Paul is talking about. He's saying that we need to trust God in our circumstances. He calls us to trust him because he can bring the good out of it. Well, we got scripture to back that up in Romans 8:28. It tells us, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For this is God's will. When you know that, it's an indication of thanksgiving. And for the believer, thanking God is not optional, it's a commandment. We ought to thank him. Our words of gratitude aligns with God's will. It centers us on Christ's peace. It transforms our painful predicaments into praise. And when you start praising him, you look at things differently. In Ephesians 5:20, the text says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we can thank God in all things, we acknowledge his sovereignty in all things and over all things. Gratitude helps us become or practice an act of faith. Lord, I may not understand what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. A farmer lost his only horse, and his neighbor said, that's bad. The next day, The horse returned with two wild horses. And the neighbor said, oh, that's good. Then the farmer's son broke his leg trying to tame one of the wild horses. The neighbor said, that's bad. A week later, the army came to draft all of the young men for war. But his son was spared. And the neighbor said, oh, yeah, that's good. The farmer replied, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I know God is in control. And so whatever we're dealing with, we got to remember that God is in control. We are in his hands. And we need to learn to praise God on the mountaintop. We need to learn to praise him in the valley. We need to learn to praise him when the trials of life come. We need to understand that God is still in the mix. Gratitude helps us to keep our heart on God. It builds resilience in our spirit. It gives us a perspective in our pain. No matter what's happening around us, no matter what's going on, God wants us to understand what's happening within us. Now, you may not thank God for the sickness, but you can thank him in the sickness because he is a healer. You may not thank him for the storm, but you can thank him in the storm. Because he is a shelter all night long. Psalmist writes, all night, God dispatches angels to watch over me. All night and all day, he dispatches angels. Gratitude aligns your attitude with God's will. It shifts your focus from what is missing to who's with you. You can trace God's hand when you look back over it. You can see that God was in the mix. God will use it, and he'll show you that you can be successful if you just lean on him. When you thank God in every circumstance, your trials become your testimonies. When you thank God in every circumstance, your problems can turn into praise. So if you want to celebrate gratitude, start now when things get better, but because you know God is already good. He's a good God. I know sometimes you get a little upset that you always talk about God as good. Well, he is. He's good in the morning, good in the noonday, good in the nighttime. He lets you get your rest all night long. He's a good God. You can tell somebody he's a good God because he's been good to you. Matter of fact, the old folks say he's been better to you than you've been to yourself. That's how good he is. And so when we think about God's goodness, we can celebrate and tell him, thank you that you took care of me. Not only you took care of me, but you took care of mama, you took care of grandpa, you took care of all of my folk. And here I am because you took care of me. Yeah, he's a good God. And somebody said he's a mighty good God. And so when we think about when life gets heavy, we can thank him anyway. When friends get few, we can thank him anyway. When your change is strange, you can still thank him anyway. You can thank God just for who he is. You can thank him because he is God. And I like what the old folks say, he's God all by himself. And so when your friends let you down, there is one that won't let you down. He'll be there for you in the midnight hour. He'll be there for you when things ain't working out like you wanted to work out. So God is good all the time. And we can thank him for his goodness. Thank him because gratitude makes the difference. Gratitude doesn't wait for the storm to pass. It dances in the rain because it knows that the sun still shines above the clouds. There's an old song that says, you know that there is a bright side somewhere. Don't give up till you find it, because there is a bright side somewhere. You can thank him because there is a bright side somewhere. And God is going to take care of you, whatever it is you're dealing with. Now, if you know the Lord, you got a reason to rejoice. If you trust the Lord, you got a reason to rejoice. When this world that we live in is thankless, you can still be thankful. Not because your life is tight and right and everything is working like you need it to work. No, you thank God because he's perfect. And you thank God because he's present in your life. Even when things are thrown off, he's still present. Even when it ain't working out like you need it to work it out, he's still God. Because he's God, You can thank him all the time. And you may not even understand why you're thanking him, because what's going on with you hurts too much. But God is still God. He never changes. We need to have a heart of gratitude. We need to agree with Patty LaBelle. We need to have a new attitude. We need to thank him for who he is. It may not be everything that we want, but thank him for who he is. So give thanks when you feel forgotten. Give thanks when you feel rejected. Give thanks when you feel defeated. Give thanks when you feel empty. Because God still feels. Because every thank you builds a testimony. I don't know about you, but when you turn your prayer into thanking God, whatever you came to the table feeling bad about, after a while, after a couple of them thank yous, you start thinking about the goodness of God. You start thinking about, yeah, that thing could have been worse. But the God I serve been good to me. I thank him just because he's good to me. I thank him because he didn't have to do what he did for me. I thank him because he is my God. He's a big enough God. He's my God. He's your God. He's your God. He's your God. That's how big he is. Not only that, he's awesome in his power. And God can do for you what he does for me. So thank him today, church. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for his power. And when you thank him, your attitude changes. As old song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. And when you start counting them, you're going to see what the Lord has done. And when you see what the Lord has done for you, you're going to bless somebody else yourself. Because you know that if it had not been for him blessing me over and over and over and over again, I wouldn't be here today. So we need to have an attitude of gratitude. We need to thank him because he is God all by himself. Thank you, God. I don't want to live without thanking you, Lord. If all I can say, if they take my tongue, if I could just say thank you, that's enough. Because he's been good to me. Let us pray. God, our Father, we come now thanking you for every blessing, Lord. Thanking you for every blessing that we have seen and not seen. Lord, we pray that you teach us to rejoice always, to pray continually, Lord, and to give thanks to you in all our circumstances. Forgive us, God, for the times that we've grumbled instead of being grateful. Forgive us for the times that we misunderstood what you were doing in our lives. Forgive us for the times that we were impatient and not willing to wait on you, God. Forgive us for the times that we had anxiety and yet you were still working things out for us. So renew our hearts today with joy. Renew our hearts today, Lord, that overflows with a peace that surpasses all understanding, so that we can give you all of the glory and all of the honor that you so richly deserve in this season. In the strong name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let us stand on our feet.